Pastor Carolyn asked you after praise and worship, how blessed are you? And I'm going to ask you the same question. How blessed are you? Do you know how blessed you are? Are you? Are you sure? We shall find out. Hallelujah. You know, the Pentecostals and the Word of Faith churches, and like us, we are known for going into God's Scripture and pulling out His blessings and confessing them over ourselves all the times. And we expect them to just happen in most cases. Do you know that the blessings of God are not automatic? They do not come just because you confess them. There's a requirement in His Word listed before every blessing. And if you don't keep that requirement that He's given you, you have no right to expect that blessing. The blessings of God are not automatic just because you're a Christian. They require one thing of you, and they require obedience. Always, in all areas. Turn with me, if you will, this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Amen. We've got to keep our part of the covenant that God made with us. A covenant between two people or two tribes, like God made between us and Him, requires that each party do something. If God keeps His covenant with us, we have to keep ours with Him. But unfortunately, the way the Word of God is written, we have to keep our part of that covenant with God first before He's obligated to keep His. God will always keep His Word, but it's dependent on how obedient we are. Amen? Praise God. You know, the devil tried to suppress this message once already because it deals with obedience. And he doesn't like it when obedience is preached. Why? Because he was disobedient, and that's what caused him to fall. So we're going to get this out one way or another. Blessings require our obedience, our submission to God's authority, whether it's direct authority or whether it's delegated authority. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I guess I should get there too, shouldn't I? Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 8. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to our fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. I read that because you say, what does it have to do with me? I'm not Egypt. Egypt represents the church in this case. Okay? That's what he's talking about. He brought us out. Excuse me. Egypt doesn't represent church. We are. He brought Israel out of Egypt. Israel represents us. Amen? We're the church. We're the church today. Verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God. Notice how it says He is God. It doesn't say He is a God. It doesn't say He is some God. It says He is God. In the Hebrew, that is, He is El Shaddai or El Elohim. He is the Most High, the Mighty One, the Breasted One, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the God of Gods. He is above all things. He is God, not a God. If He is God, He is the final authority. He is the only authority. Amen? Let's go on. Is there anybody here that hates God? I can skip verse 10 then, right? No, we better read it. And He repays those who hate Him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. Now, I know that doesn't apply to any of us because we all love God. Amen? But there might be somebody out there listening to this that needs to hear that, so I had to read it. Verse 11. Therefore you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Notice that comes before verse 12. Verse 12 says, then. Everybody say then. Then. What does then mean? It means after something else is done, right? Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which He swore to your fathers. You have to do something first before the blessings of God are yours to claim. You have to be obedient to everything He's commanded you to do in His Word. Now, I'm in the Old Testament right now because it still applies to us people. This is where it's clearest written. We're under grace now. That's right. And we do these things by faith now. But how many of you know Abraham walked upright before God in the Old Testament, and it was accounted to him for righteousness? Do you know what that means? That means that he was obedient to the things of God, and because of that, he was considered the same as a born-again Christian. He had all the rights and privileges of all the blessings in the Bible because he was obedient, and only because he was obedient. Let's go on. Verse 13, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land and your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and of the offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. Shall be only if you have done what he told you to do. Only if you have been obedient to him, people. If you've been speaking blessings over your life and blessings over your family stuff and they haven't come to pass, maybe you should take a look at your obedience. And I know this sounds harsh, but this is what he spoke to me. And he made me turn and look at my life. Because there were some things I was believing I should be having out of His Word, and I wasn't getting them, and I wanted to know why. And when I asked Him, He says, check your obedience. Excuse me? Your Word says I'm blessed. He says, only if. You should be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or a female barren among you, or among your livestock. Do you realize what that says? Not one of God's children should ever have a problem having children. And I can tell you right now that there's at least three families that I know of who are having trouble, who are now blessed abundantly. Amen? That must mean to me that they finally found what they were lacking in and took care of it. And God blessed them because He said He would. Amen? His Word is faithful. God, Pastor C said it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He said Himself, I'm not a man that I should lie. Amen? Verse 15. And I like this one. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. He didn't say some sickness. There isn't a Christian walking today that should have any sickness in their life if they have been obedient to God in all of His work. Because He said He would take away all sickness from us. It doesn't say some, or it doesn't say this one or that one. He says all sickness. And He will not afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you. He will put our sickness on the ones who hate us if we are obedient to Him, people. That's a blessing and a half, isn't it? That's probably a double blessing, really. Not that I would want anyone, to have the sickness and diseases that came upon Egypt, even if they hated me. I would pray for them. I would pray that God would open their eyes and they would see what they needed to do so that they could receive His blessings. But His blessings are not automatic. We must do something first. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Sure, it's Old Testament, but His Word, He said not one jot or tittle of His Word would pass away. Did He not? Just because we're in the New Age, just because we're under grace now, doesn't mean that we're not required to keep His obedience. The only difference is now He's graced us to be able to do it by faith. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 24, and let's look at what I consider a parallel to this. You may not think so, but I do. So I'll share it the way I see it. And let's go to Matthew chapter 24. And let's begin with verse 36. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Do you know what that means? That doesn't just mean that they were living. That means that they were living a sinful, disgraceful life. They weren't walking before God. Otherwise, why would he have destroyed all of them with the flood? Verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of man. Okay, jump down to verse 42. He warns us, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. What he's saying here, people, don't do what they did. But, in other words, be obedient to my word. Just because it's not written like it is in the Old Testament doesn't mean he's not telling us still to be obedient to his word. If you're not obedient, you're not going to know he's coming. We're not going to know he's coming anyways. But if you're not obedient to his word, you're not going to be ready when he comes. And trust me, being ready when he comes is a blessing. You want to be ready when he comes. Amen? Let's go on. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master finds when he comes so doing. In other words, when he comes and he finds us obedient through faith by grace to what he's told us to do, we will be blessed. Those are who he's looking for. He's looking for those of his children when he comes who are walking by faith in accordance with his word. That's obedience, people. That's obedience. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Those are the kind of things that they were doing before the flood in the days of Noah. They were doing exactly what that says not to do. And what he's telling us is, don't do that. Watch and pray. Be ready when I come. Now notice also that those are things that you have to do to be obedient. The next verse, he goes into your blessings. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, I looked up that word delight because it bothered me. Am I supposed to just be happy that his law is here? That word delight actually means be inclined to do. They just wrote it so it sounded fancy. What it should read is, but be inclined to do his law in the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That last verse alone is a good enough blessing for me without the rest that he listed. Whatever I do shall prosper. But only if I've done what it said above. A covenant between two people of two tribes requires that we both keep our part of the bargain. If I make a covenant with Dan for him to come over and build me something, if I take him out to dinner, and I don't take him out to dinner, I better not expect him to come over and build me that cabin that I asked for. Because it was an agreement. Amen? But if I take him out to dinner, and a couple of months have went by and he hasn't built my cabinet yet, You can bet I'm going to be on the phone talking to him or at his door knocking. Hey, where's my cabinet you agreed to build me? Amen? That's what an agreement is. And an agreement is nothing more, a covenant rather, is nothing more than an agreement. In the old Hebrew, the actual word that's translated for us, covenant, actually had the connotation of blood being let to make the covenant. That's where the term blood brothers came from. In the old days, they used to make incisions and draw blood when they made their covenants. And that covenant was until the death, generations down between those tribes people. And if you broke it, you didn't have to worry. Somebody from your own tribe would see to it that you were punished for breaking it. The other tribe didn't have to come do it. Because when you broke it for everybody in your tribe. Amen? Praise God. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I know you know this. I know we've been there. But I want to go through it real quickly again. Because these are blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And let's begin with verse 1. And the first thing he does is he tells us that it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. How many of you know that this word, all 66 books, is the voice of the Lord your God? Not just the Old Testament. Amen? Okay? To observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. There it is again. See? That's the second time He's going to set you high above all the people. Okay? Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Everybody say, because. That was weak. Say, because. Because what? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. He told us once, that's the first reminder. Amen? And then he goes on, and he starts listing the blessings. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8. Amen? I like verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand to, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Amen? Verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Second reminder. And we're only at verse 9. And then he starts in again with actually reiterating the blessings he's already said, but in a different way. You get down to verse 13 and he says, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them. He told us what they were, what we had to do, and then he reminded us three times inside of 14 verses to keep his commandment. Do you think he means obedience is important? It sure sounds like it is to me. And it's important that if I do it, then I'm blessed. But if I don't do it, those blessings aren't mine. Amen? Verse 14, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. That's verse 1 through 14. The rest of this chapter, from verse 15 to verse 68, are all the curses that will come on you if you are not obedient to His Word, if you do not keep His Word. Obedience is important. Our God is a loving God, but He requires obedience. Excuse me. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. And again, I believe that this is the New Testament equivalent of what we're looking at in the Old Testament. I believe that Jesus is telling these people exactly how to get the blessings. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and he taught them. Amen? And they listened. And then he recites the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice spirit is a little s. That to me, means that that's the spirit of man, not the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I look at that meaning that I'm poor in spirit because I don't know all of the things of God yet. I don't know all of the Holy Spirit has to give me. So I have to let my man spirit be down so the Holy Spirit can come. And when he comes and feeds me, feeds my spirit, then my mind becomes the kingdom of God then. Amen? That's how I achieve the kingdom of God, by being poor in spirit, by being poor in my human spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can fill me with the things of God. Amen? Requires obedience. I have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to fill me with the things of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. That word meek doesn't mean a cow tower. That word meek means be humble before God, to the things of God. Amen? It doesn't mean to be a weakling in front of your enemies. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants us to hunger and thirst not only for Him, but for the things of righteousness, which is Him. Amen? I'm the righteousness of Christ, or the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because I hunger and thirst for that. Because I want more of Him, just like this morning. I want to know Jesus more. I want to know more about Him than what I can find in the Word. How do I do that? I have to commune with Him. Amen? I have to get with Him. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only if you're pure in heart. Are any of us pure in heart right now, while we're here on this earth? Completely pure? I really don't think so. I wouldn't raise my hand to that, to say that I am. Because I know that there's things I do that are not pleasing to God. Why do I do them? Because I'm human. Because I'm not God. I'm not all powerful. I let the Holy Spirit work in my life, but my human body still controls some things sometimes. Just like it does in every one of you. Have I seen God face to face yet? No. Because I'm not pure in heart yet. I'm working on it. Amen? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. My Lord, there's a lot of people in the kingdom of heaven now. Have you been watching the news, all the persecution that's been going on in the third world countries? All the Christians that have been killed? It's going on every day. They suppress a lot of it, but it's there. Amen? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But we can have rewards here too, people. We don't have to wait for heaven. All we have to do is be obedient to His Word. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to go back here and talk about the word observe. Everywhere that you've seen the word observe, that doesn't mean to look at. Observe the laws of God? No, don't just look at them. That word observe means to comply with. If you just observe the speed limit, which is a very common phrase, by looking at the sign, and you don't put your vehicle under it, and the sheriff's behind you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a ticket. But if you observe the law, if you observe the speed limit, then you will operate your vehicle appropriately so that you comply with the law. And that's what that word observe means everywhere we've read it in these scriptures. It means to comply with His law. Not just look at it and say, oh, that's good. No, no. Observe means to comply with. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe, comply with, to do according to all that is written in it. For then, there's that for then again. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And most of the time, that's the only verse we read. But let's go on. Let's read verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you're going to be of good courage and be not afraid, and if you're going to expect the Lord to be with you wherever you go, you have to do what He said in verse 8. You have to be obedient to Him. You have to observe all of His laws, all of His instructions. Amen? Let's look at Psalm 112. Psalm 112, starting with verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. There's that word delights again. It still has the same meaning it did before. Is inclined to do His commandments is what it means. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness will endure forever. Under the upright there arises light in the darkness. He's gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees this desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. All of those come after verse 1. When you have been inclined to do His commandments. Until you've done that, none of those remaining verses are yours to claim. Do you follow me? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's your choice. We make the choice. We can either be blessed or we can be cursed. Or we can just be blessed a little bit or we can be blessed a whole lot. There's a story in Matthew 8, let's go there, of the centurion. And we always look at that as a story of faith. Well, the story of faith is obedience, people. But this story of the centurion, we've studied it before and we've looked at it as a study of faith. Matthew chapter 8, and beginning with verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him pleading with Him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, and he come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you that I have found have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And we study that as faith. But what that centurion was saying was, I know how to be obedient. I'm one under authority myself. And I know, based on the Word of God, that if you just speak your word, my servant will be healed. And because he was obedient, his servant was healed. Yes, he was standing in faith, but it was also an example of his obedience. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalm 94. Psalm 94, beginning with verse 12. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. I like to read verse 12 this way. Blessed is the man who receives your instruction, O Lord, and who receives your teaching. Because you can sit in a classroom and you can be taught for hours. And you can get up and you can walk out of that classroom and everything you heard or was given to you in that classroom stayed in the classroom if you didn't receive it. You have to be receptive, and reception of teaching from the Lord is obedience. It's being obedient to what He's saying to you and what He's teaching you. You can turn it off and not receive it. Many of us have done that in the past. I can raise my hand to that. In the past, I said. Amen. If you want to be blessed and you expect to claim the blessings of God, and I do, then you must be obedient to Him first. You must be obedient to His Word. You must be obedient to His direct authority, which is His Word. You must be obedient to His delegated authority, which is those that He places over you. Amen? And I'm not speaking that because I'm over you. I'm speaking that because I have somebody over me. Amen? And I have learned that I am obedient because the Lord told me to be obedient. Not because the man or the woman over me has told me. Because I can guarantee you that if the man or woman over me said, you have to do this, I would look at them and laugh. That's my old nature. But when the Lord says, I have put you under these people, and they are over you. Now, if I'm disobedient to them, I'm actually being disobedient to Him. And I don't want to be disobedient to Him. Because that brings great punishment with it. Amen? Let's go over to Romans chapter 6 quickly. Almost done. Hallelujah. I gave you the condensed version this morning. Amen? But it doesn't matter how long it is. What matters is the content. What matters is what God is saying to you out of it and what He's saying through me to you. Because it's not mine. It's His. It's His Word. I didn't make it up. All I'm doing is relaying it like He told me to. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. God told us in His Word over in Deuteronomy, I set before you life or death, blessings or cursings. Choose life. He didn't even leave it up for option. He told us which one to choose. How do you choose life? By being obedient to Him. By being obedient to His Word. All the way through, however that word's coming to you. Amen? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I love the Word. It's so good. It's so full of God's wisdom and God's anointing and God's teaching and instruction for us. Amen? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. I want you to read that last verse one more time. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Notice there is even a condition there for eternal salvation. You must obey him. And it starts when you give him your heart. When you say, Lord, here I am. Here's my heart. Be my Lord. Don't ask him to be your salvation. Don't ask him to be your Savior. Ask him to be your Lord. Because he's not your Savior until he is your Lord. And what that means is he's not your Savior until you're obedient to him. You're obedient to him if you've made him your Lord. Amen? One more. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 17 verse, or chapter 13 verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they watch for your souls, and those as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. When God has placed you under someone and made them a leader over you, make it joyful for them to watch over your souls. And you do that by being, number one, obedient to God. And if you're obedient to God, you will be obedient to those he's placed over you. You won't look at it as being told what to do or what not to do. You will look at it as, this is word from God. God is telling me to do this. And once you get light of that, once you get that revelation that that person God has put over you is actually God speaking to you, you will have absolutely no trouble being obedient to that person. Because it's being obedient to God. Amen? How much you're blessed isn't dependent upon how much or of the scriptures you can confess of all the blessings. You can have every blessing in the scripture of God written down, know exactly where it is, and you can confess it over yourself every day. But you are not going to see those come to pass over you unless you're obedient to Him. Amen? Obedience to authority, God's authority, whether it's direct or delegated, is required before you can be blessed of God. I didn't say it. He did. It's His word. Amen? And I only picked out a few of them. But every one of them that I've looked at, every one of them, there's an obedience, whether it's specifically stated or whether it's implied. And we go around and we confess these blessings all the time and we just expect them to fall out of the air on us. People, God requires obedience. And without obedience, there isn't blessing. Amen? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but my God has been good to me. And I'll tell you one thing. The devil hates to hear obedience preached. Because he's the author of confusion. He's the author of lies. And he is the biggest disobedient person there ever was. He fell from heaven because of his disobedience. Amen? But he'll sure take up with you in a heartbeat if you take on disobedience. Amen? And that verse in Romans that says, whoever you're a slave to, be careful that you're not a slave to the God of this world, the God of disobedience. You want to be a slave to the God of obedience, the God. Amen? Praise God. Are you blessed today? Amen. Give somebody a hug. Amen. And be blessed.